Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some good old Vikings football. Now, obviously, we didn't take an L last week because we didn't play, right? But still, 5-0, coming off the bye. We do have a couple of questions as far as injuries, but for the most part, pretty damn healthy. In this division, man, the North Division is really stacked up at the moment anyway to be the best division in football. Obviously, we have a big test coming up against the Detroit Lions, especially on defense, man. This is going to be interesting to see. They come in pretty damn hot, 5-1. Tampa Bay's the only team to have knocked them off. We'll kind of talk about, you know, being the fact that Aaron Jones is week to week. You don't really like that listing, week to week. He's questionable right now, but that's what they said a week ago. He's week to week. So, you know, was 2 weeks good enough, or are they going to hold him out and make sure it's all healed up? Is Hockenson going to come back? So there are some questions as we preview and predict this Lions game. And then, per usual, to close the show, we always close it with a Gopher segment, and the Gophers are looking up, 4-3 heading into the break, got a nice road win over a team that you can't really just look at their record and judge them just because they faced one of the hardest, if not hardest, schedules for an FBS team. Obviously, you have some of those FCS teams that get paid to go, you know, to the big schools, and they'll play three or four just crazy Tennessee, Ohio State, you know, and it helps fund their program. But big win. So we'll talk about the Gophers as they go into the bye on the up and up. Coming out of the bye, they got a winnable game as well. So we'll talk it all through here in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope, though. If you don't want to, you can find it in a variety of places under Ropeadope Radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn. Download the podcast app. If you're on Spreaker, Living in Loserville. If you're on Spotify, very popular platform, Purple People Eaters podcast on Spotify. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com at Sports News 24. One more message from DirecTV Stream. Watch the MLB playoffs on DirecTV Stream, plus save up to $74.99. Plus, it's football season, the best way to get all the top channels with DirecTV. Limited time, $86.98 for the first 2 months when you sign up for the entertainment package and add the DirecTV sports pack. It's a good deal either way. You could start streaming with DirecTV Stream, start your free trial, see how you like it. If you go to the Choice package, which includes the NFL Network, SEC, and Bally Sports, up to 125 channels, $94.99 for the first 3 months, and the Ultimate is $109.99 for the first 3 months. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. First and foremost, Aaron, how you doing? Man, we had a bit of a chill last night. Got down to like 36 where I was. Saw a little frost, on the car windows and whatnot. But it's been a gorgeous fall so far. And, coming out of this bye, man, how are we feeling?
It has been a nice fall so far. Excuse me. I'm well. Trying to figure out what week to week means, Chris. It could be ready to go with Jones, or, you know, is this a kind of monitoring? Are we doing a little subterfuge, throw the Lions off? It's hard to tell what you're going to get from week to week. Hopefully Jones plays. It's a big deal coming out of the bye. So I don't know. But I mean, right now the division stack, Chris, it's like, you know, we're at 5-0. Somehow we got there. We were just talking a little bit about, we thought, you know, 3-2 would have been great. 2-3 we could live with. But the Lions are 4-1, Bears 4-2, Packers 4-2. We've played a little tougher schedule in the first five than these other guys. But But it's, you know, we thought it was going to be a tough division, but we thought we'd be looking up at it. But man, this NFC North is going to be a meat grinder coming down the stretch here. And the Bears don't play anybody till like week 8 in the division, or maybe week 9, somewhere in that range. They kind of set up the schedule, like give Caleb a little time to improve, which he apparently is doing. So that'll be fun. But yeah, man, I mean, like you said, coming out of the bye, fairly healthy. Got a couple guys nicked up, waiting for Hockenson to come back. But yeah, you know, I guess we're sort of surprised. I mean, I got to say I'm surprised, Chris. 5-0 at this point. Didn't see it coming. I thought, like we said earlier, it was going to be something less than that. Hell, even 4-1 wouldn't have been terrible.
I mean, yeah, 4-1, I wouldn't even put terrible in the equation. We were both now, you know, knock on wood, let's see how the season goes, obviously. And in 2016, we did get off to a pretty damn good start. And, you know, shit hit the fan. But that also, I've seen a lot of Vikings fan on Twitter kind of freaking out, like, I still don't believe this team. I don't know what kind of season it's going to be. And they keep bringing up 2016. It's like, remember, we did go through seven offensive tackles, just that position. You're bringing guys off the couch. I think since the merger, that was the most tackles started. So now I don't know if since then there's been that record has been broken. I don't keep track of that. I just know that year it hadn't been done since the merger. So we can't quite, you know, go with that. Now, yeah, I mean, this has been great. This has been a great season so far. And like I said, both of us are pretty wrong on our predictions, knock on wood, we assume, you know, anywhere from 5 to 6 wins to 7 to 8. You know, it looks like we're going to secure those easily. So, but that's okay. I mean, you know, it's predictions. Both of us really didn't think this defense would come along this far. We knew it was going to come along, but we didn't know. Right now, it's the best defense in the league, but even top 5 the whole time, if that remains, it's even a little bit higher than we thought. So that's part of it. And then also the efficiency in the red zone, not turning the ball over at such a high clip to begin in the season and to finish the season like last year. Last year, remember all those fumbles by the goal line, then it tightened up. Then we got a little loose with it. Again, start throwing picks and weird, crazy stuff happening. And so a lot of turnovers. Now, we're still not out of the, you know, completely out. Like, I think last week going into the week, I didn't count it this week so far, but we were like 28th in turnovers. So we still turn the ball over probably a little too much. It seems like we got a pick and a fumble in this almost every game. But the difference is the defense this year. They're leading so many different categories, your top 2, top 5. So definitely, you know, a great, like you said, great, great division, though. I mean, this has been crazy so far. I never really would have thought it was going to be this good along with us. If you look at these numbers, combined point differential by division, NFC North plus 211 compared to plus the second place, AFC West, plus 20. Now, if you look at the NFC North combined records that they won against, 16-12 for the Vikings, 9-13, 4-16, and 6-15 for the Packs. The 4-16 was the Bears. So, as you know, we've known this was going to be one of the toughest parts of the schedule, obviously. But we came through with flying colors. And, yeah, I remember being like, let's say, okay, let's get past this game. 3-3 with Dot Man. This would really shape my, you know, change my thought process. And all of a sudden 10-plus wins is very much on the table. But, yeah, now 5-0 with a chance to go 6-0 against, you know, one of the better teams in the league. And just a little update, you know, on – our star running back Jones. This is Kevin Seifert, ESPN. He said Jones was at, you know, on the practice field. It was described as a light bonus session. So, you know, Reisner's back too. We know that TJ has been playing or practicing for a little time now. So, you know, that's kind of up in the air. I think we'll get a little bit better view of it, whether it's tomorrow or the next in the coming days, obviously, before we actually see it. I wouldn't doubt if Jones just remains questionable. That's where he's at now. But Hockenson, yeah, it's hard to tell, you know. And some of that, it's tough on a Monday, you know, sometimes to predict, because you're like, huh, it feels like Hockenson's going to be back. You know, they say he was pretty close right before last week, so now it's been two more weeks. But, of course, you're going to be, because it happened later in the season last year, you're going to have to be kind of careful with that. But with the Jones week to week, that is vague, isn't it, Aaron, where you're like, man, once day to day or, you know, a tweak like, you know, Hunter a couple years ago, when you hear week to week, it just doesn't sound good. And that has, you know, kind of striked up the conversation. Hey, let's say he keeps getting banged up or whatever, just in general, just for depth or whatever, not even thinking Jones is going to be out for sure or anything for the, you know, for 5 weeks or something. But a lot of folks talking about a trade. Obviously, Kwesi, you know, he's not afraid to make a trade, right? He's not afraid to either call or pick up when someone calls. And the biggest two, you know, thoughts on that were running back and interior defensive lineman, just depth on that. Or maybe you could get, you know, someone more of a name player that's on a crappy team. You see some teams. This isn't the MLB where you can sell your whole team, you know. But you do see teams that are like 1-5, especially if they're young and they're trying to figure out the quarterback position or whatever. Sometimes they sell on a player that they don't think they can sign next year. Or even the Hockenson, they already, you know, Detroit already had his replacement. And so they figure, well, why not keep that rookie skill quarterback or, you know, tight end thing going and not have to pay Hawk and get some draft commodity. What are your thoughts on, you know, a trade, whether it's going to happen or some, you know, some positions or just overall? What do you think? You think, you know, Kwesi usually does pull the trigger, but I don't know. I wouldn't mind it, that's for sure.
Well, I'm in the this year's gravy camp still, you know, because we're 5-0, but I'm not gonna go say we're buyers at this point, like we're going to the Super Bowl or something. I've tempered my expectations. Yeah, I can have a good year, and if you can get there with what you have, good enough. You know, Jones is a big loss, and it is vague. We don't really know, and you know, if it's questionable, I want him to sit because he's just too important for the coming down the stretch, yes, of the season. So, I mean, if there's something there, that's fine. Don't play him for another week or so. But so, you know, next year's draft is supposed to be really good in running backs. So if you can get an expiring contract or maybe, you know, somebody sitting on the bench, like the kid from Illinois, I thought Chase Brown or something from Cincinnati, something like that, where you can, you know, maybe get some play out of them. That's okay, but I'm not, you know, I'm not thinking about moving assets or anything like that for running back. Defensive tackle, okay, you want to get depth, fine. That's probably the same as I feel about grabbing a running back. But if you want to go for like Dexter Lawrence or a top guy, all right, I can be talked into that, but
that's the one that people have been talking about right there.
You know, you got to talk about what's his contract like, you know, what do they want? Are you getting willing to give up a first, two firsts? I mean, next year's first pretty valuable, especially where we're at, with needing, you know, with JJ coming next year and wanting to fill some holes, maybe get a guard or maybe pick up a defensive tackle in the draft that's coming out. But it would be hard to pass up. I mean, if he's available, Chris, and you plop him right in the middle coming down the stretch and you get him for a couple more years and you can probably afford him with the cap space. I could be talked into that as long as, you know, we have very limited draft picks next year. So, you know, you might have to give up our first, which is one of our four, I think, picks, and then we'll get some compensatory.
Do a Timberwolves future picks. Yes, type thing. Like that. All right, we'll give you the 27, 28, you know.
Yeah, but I would be down with it just because that's a piece that's, you know,
different.
That's a cornerstone, so to speak, piece that you could keep for a while, and that would be it. Running backs, I think, we're just going to have to go with what you got. You got Jones, whatever health he has for the rest of the season, I'll take that. And then, you know, Chandler. So if you come and fill up, get a grab another guy that you may can get you some yards at some point. I'm also down with that, but I don't want to move assets for running back. And I don't necessarily want to move assets for a depth to defensive tackle. But if you can get a big name on the contract that you like, I think I'd be down with that, I guess. Where do you stand on that? Would you move assets for like the guy for like Dexter Lawrence or maybe the Matabuike guy from Baltimore or other guys that have been on, like, you know, a guy like Sue or something coming off the couch? Obviously not going to move any assets for that, but if he wants a couple million bucks, I probably could talk me into that too. But no, I mean, mostly let's just stick with what we have, see how this year goes. But yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to pick up a player, top-notch player who's available for whatever reason, I think Kwesi would listen to that.
Yeah, I like how you put that. I mean, the running back, I think you could get a running back, you know, like I don't think you have to trade that much commodity for a running back. You know, they tend to anyway, obviously. No, it matters what we're talking about, but they tend to not draw as much, you know, when it comes to that. So, there is a couple that stand out, but like you said, for example, Lawrence, yeah, I mean, that I would definitely do that because that guy, I mean, you want to talk about the you know, the finishing touches on there. That would be crazy. You know, people talk about bringing Akers back from the Texans. Nick Chubb from the Browns, they're having a rough season. Travis, the dude from the clubs, God, I can't remember his last name.
Etienne. Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good back. I wouldn't mind, like, but, you know, I'm thinking third round, fourth round here. I'm not thinking.
Yes, exactly. Giving
up too much, you know, and he's got some youth to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who'd be around for a little while.
But he's productive. Yeah, he's productive. Still got some, yeah.
Chubb, I think, you know, Chubb's probably at the tail end of his career. If you could get him for cheap or something like that, sure, it'd be interesting. Because he's hell of a back, but, you know, I don't know. I think he messed his leg up or something. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get something like that, that's fine. Or just get a young back that, you know, ain't being used right now might be something to look at.
Yeah, I'd definitely be in favor of that just because, you know, why not? Obviously, you're going to have to cut some folks or somebody. But then again, you never know. Maybe there'd be a player involved in that, like a minor depth player that we don't need as much now or something like that. So it could be. And I'm with you. I'm not trying to be all, like, over-the-top negative or whatever as far as, oh, it's going to be like the 2016 season. Here we go, you know. But also I'm not like, dude, look at the stats when you compare it to 98. It lines up and, you know, that type of thing either. You know, I'm kind of right in there between or right there with you. It is crazy. We still, after five games since that 1970 merger, we have – one, two, three, we're in fifth place as far as through five games, the least amount of time trailing. Last year, the Niners, who lost in the Super Bowl, they had only trailed for a minute 45. We're still on that 3:26 right now. So you see the two. Okay, so through five games in 2009, the Saints, we know that Saints team, unfortunately. 84, they lost in the Super Bowl. Marino, only like a little over a minute. The Rams, who won the Super Bowl, only 2 minutes something. Broncos, who won the Super Bowl, is like 4 minutes. So some of these stats that we put up are just like a lot of it's sustainable. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to go over the historic defense stuff, but when you look at the numbers, it is pretty crazy, right? Because we're in a passing league. So I think that's part of it, you know, where you go, well, defense, I don't want to get too lost in that. But then you're like, dude, you know, when you're bringing up even Baltimore or the Bears 85, we know what the league was like. You know, I'm not saying it's better or worse or anything like that. But as far as what the defenses are going against in passing and all that, how the college play calls and schemes and all that have entered a while ago now. So you have a different style of quarterback as well, finally. And I mean, just for instance, the Vikings have 11 more interceptions than have more interceptions, 11, than they've given up touchdowns. You know, like it's pretty crazy, man. If you look at, you know, I don't have the numbers through 6 weeks because we didn't play, but we had 72 pressures on the QB. We were first in the league through five. There was Seahawks and the Bucks at 54 and then the Broncos at 47. I mean, it just, the things that we're doing is pretty crazy. But we have, and we've always talked about, we do have, you know, room for improvement. And sometimes, like even Grenard, right? He doesn't have a ton of sacks, but he has more pressures than Garrett, Parsons, Watt, Lawrence, Hunter, Bosa, Will Anderson. Like, you know, I don't know, man. There is something to be said. And if you look at who we've beaten, I mean, you know, the Niners. Quality team, right? Even the Jets are not that bad, really. Houston is really, really good. So if you really look at it, like, I just really like this team, and I just don't think it'll fall off all the way like some folks are freaking out about. So, but yeah, the stats are pretty good. Since 1990, if you start 5-0, Aaron, 90% you reach the playoffs, 52% you lose in the playoffs before the Super Bowl, 37% you reach it, 21% reach it and lose, 14% win the Super Bowl, 10% miss the playoffs. We've done that twice. So that's why, you know, you can't get too excited. But the rush efficiency without Jones did take a drop last week and even the week before a little bit. But we're also coming off of pretty bad game by Sam Darnold, right? We've been calling him Steady Sam so far. It'll be big for him, especially in this game, as we kind of get out of this talk and get into the Lions stuff. It'll be big for him to just get back to Steady Sam, make the right throws, sometimes take a risk. Sometimes we're going to depend on your arm. Other times, though, just take the sack. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, I'm kind of in there in between, too. I don't want to act like we're going to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but I'm not negative Nancy either.
If I had just, you know, just one standard deviation of more faith in Darnold, I think I'd be a little bit more excited. Now, he's not – we knew going in, we didn't know how he'd play. He played pretty steady, and I'm not saying the wheels are falling off, but I'm also not saying, you know, this guy's Pro Bowl, you know, quarterback. Yeah, he played well.
Let's extend him.
I'm not there. I know a lot of people are just, well, what about this? And JJ hasn't played a snap. And it's just, okay, dude, chill. All right. There's a plan here. But yeah, if I had just a little more faith in Darnold, I'd probably be a little more excited. I'm not saying the other shoe's going to fall, which it might, but I'm not saying that it is. I just think, you know, if I had a little more, I mean, if you cut his, what we think our sweet spot for passes is 20 to 25. That's not a lot of passes. You know, we mostly are working the run right now, which we would have done with JJ as well, but for different reasons. Like I said, Sam's still making some bonehead stuff, not catastrophic, but you know, that could change coming up here. And you look at the stretch coming up, Chris, it's like, this is where we thought we could make hay when we didn't think we'd be a very good team. You got the Lions, which we always knew would be a tough game. But then you got the Rams. So far, I haven't played that well. Colts, I don't know what's going on there with Richardson and Flacco and all that stuff. The Jaguars, you know, I guess they could light it up a little bit. They haven't been playing well either in the Titans. So that's just the next four.
Yeah, Lawrence is struggling.
Right. And then you got the Bears, and then you're onto the Cardinals. So this little seven-game stretch here is a chance to really make, hey, let's say you drop the division games for whatever reason. Then you're 5-2, you're 10-2 December 1st. I mean, that's pretty good playoff stuff there. You know, depending on how the division works out and, you know, other teams, if you're going to be wild card. But I think probably the wild card is going to come out of the North, and we were talking about the North. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're going to have to make hay here in this spot. But starting with the Lions, Chris, this is where it gets a little bit shaky because you've got a really good defense. Going up against Darnold, now we got an extra week to prepare, but we have to spend a week self-scouting, you know, looking over tape and all that. So I don't know, you know, thank God it's at home if you got to face them first. We looked off air, you and I, we looked back at last year's games. We kind of rusty in our memory a bit, and they seem like kind of the same game twice. Nicky Mullins out there flinging it around for a bunch of yards, and one game he threw four picks, the other he threw two, so six picks. I think he had four touchdown passes. And, you know, so it seems like competitive games. Our defense is a little better this year. Sam, obviously, would be a little more constrained than Mullins, but I don't think you're going to get 400 yards out of Darnold. So you really hope Aaron Jones is there to steady things in the run game, or you can get Ty Chandler off to some good yards. Because I think it's Gaskin after him. So, you know, it's a tough one. Lions are pumped to play us. At least their fans are talking a lot of shit. So, I don't know, man. You know, I want to say that I have faith in the Vikings at home. And I think if you can jump up on them, Chris, like we have been, I know that's a tough ask. But I know Hutchinson's out with a terrible leg injury. We talked about that a little bit off air, too. But hope he gets well.
He's out. Yeah, we don't. Oh, Hutchinson, my bad.
Yeah, Hutchinson. That was nasty. And that helps a little bit for us, I guess, for our offense. But they've got pretty good secondary. They've got good linebackers. They've got good interior pressure. Here's where the test is for the offense. Bradbury, Brandel, Ingram. You know, can they hold up here? I don't know. It's going to be a test. And if they don't hold up, then, you know, there goes the whole house of cards, especially if you can't run the football that well. But if you get up on them, Chris, and make them throw the ball, then your secondary gets involved. And, you know, but you got also got to continue to score points. That's been a problem for us, as we highlighted last week. So I don't know, man. If I make a pick here, I want to say Vikings so much. But it just to me, you know, it's just the clock is striking midnight. And I'm not saying Sammy's going to turn into a pumpkin or this team is going to turn into a pumpkin. But, man, I just don't see it. I'm going to pick Lions by three. Lions by three, close game. I'm thinking probably Vikings lose the lead at the end. Field goal, something like that, 23-20. I don't like it. I hate to say it. Because I really want to beat the Lions. But I'm going to say they take their first loss, Chris, 23-20.
And then just talking, I feel like Jones isn't going to play this week. He is questionable. But so I'm kind of going to go off that prediction in a sense, I guess. Another little note by Alec Lewis, great reporter. He said Cashman was over on the side field jogging. He's talking about today at practice. Had a brace on his right leg. He said wouldn't put a ton into it, but we'll watch the injury report. He's been so good through five games. So, you know, that's one of those things where maybe it's, you know, nothing. Maybe it is. I don't know. Here's Dustin Baker, too. Does the upcoming Vikings-Lions feel different to you? It should. These two teams have never quite met with records like this. The closest was 54 years ago when the Vikes were 5-1. They played the Lions 5-1 at Tiger Stadium. So that kind of tells you right there. He also had a tweet. The Vikings and Lions haven't both reached the playoffs in the same season in 25 years, which that actually lines up perfectly, right? Because that's exactly, you know, that makes sense. That makes sense because, to be fair, we didn't make it last year, but then, you know, it's been so long since they made it in general. We tend to make it, but, you know, not win the big one. But, yeah, 4-1, their only losses to Tampa Bay. If you look at it, Tampa was able to force two turnovers. They had two picks, or I should say two turnover on downs. I think that was the last two drives they had, two interceptions. They got like 10 hits on the quarterback, bunch of pass deflections. So they were definitely like they bent on the yards, something that we talked about all year to begin with, but they didn't ultimately break. So that's something that, you know, is doable. Now, the last game, man, they look like gangbusters. It's almost like, you know, when the Twins will score like, you know, 14 runs, you're like, well, save it for the rest of the series, you know, for the weekend or whatever. They put up 47 on the Cowgirls last week. They, you know, forced three picks, 44 attempts, only 224 yards, man. In the run game, they cut, you know, they slowed down the run game majorly, but their run game, 184 yards on 36 carries, two tutties. That's the thing about Detroit, and, you know, it is going to be a back-and-forth game. I mean, you know, I would hope, but obviously, you know, we don't want to get blown out. And it'd be nice to jump on them and put them, you know, put them down and not have them come back. But I think that team is going to be really tough, or at least them driving on these long drives or quick strikes or whatever, but having to put them out, whether it's turnovers on downs, fumbles, interceptions, that red zone stuff will be huge. And just to your point, you know, last year, the 30-20 game, the last two drives we had a 12-play drive, almost 5 minutes, interception, and then another interception. That kind of ended that game. And then that 30-24 game, I mean, in the first half, threw two picks, but it was still only 17-7. Then the Vikes came back, but had a pick, ended up getting a field goal to make it 30-24, forced some punts, and then six plays, driving down the field, another pick. So, you know, winnable games, though. That's the thing. They were winnable. You know, it wasn't just, oh, they beat us. You know, they were just better than us. It's like, well, even without, you know, a starting quarterback that you'd like to rely on, because obviously Cousins was hurt by then, that's a little rough there, but it makes me think, and that's part of like predicting this season. Aaron was like, dude, we were in so many tight games. It almost felt like 2021, you know, where it's like, God, we were in so many tight games and we ended up 8-9 or whatever. And the year after that, as we know, we won a bunch of those tight games, but it just one extra, you know, pick here, one extra fumble there or whatever. But they put up 30 points a game. We're putting up 28, basically, but 30 points a game. We're only giving up 15, though, which is really good, especially in the NFL nowadays. They're giving up 18, but 258 through the air is what Detroit, you know, is doing. So that 258 and then 158 on the ground, dude. So that's the thing. They got a, you know, they got a 1-2 punch and they can just chuck the ball around the field. And yeah, you want to apply pressure on Goff, no doubt, but because that's what Tampa did. They hit him 10 times, but But you do have to be careful. And I think this year we haven't been blitzing as much as we did last year, but it's still the appearance of, is it going to be a blitz or not? So got to get pressure on Goff. More than likely, though, we will see some four-man rushes. It just, who's that fourth rusher and where's it coming from? The new wrinkles on offense and defense, that'll be interesting to see coming off a bye. Hockenson, you know, there is a lot of, I don't know, I'm not sure. They give up a lot of pass too, so do we, but they do. So I'm with you. Like, I have it, without Jones, I have it 30, I actually have a high scoring one, 34 to 31. If Jones plays, I have it 31 to 27 Vikings, but I'm just going to go with he's not going to, on Monday, that he's not going to play, so I'm with you. Kind of a high-scoring game. I think we're barely a favorite, minus two, so that's basically a pick 'em game because you get that 3.5 or whatever. But it's 49.5 for the over-under. I'm going over, my friend. I think I'm going to actually make that bet.
Wow. Yeah, if you want me to believe in this team going forward, you know, beat Detroit soundly. You can beat Detroit soundly at home. Okay, then I think this is a special year. This is a special thing, even though we thought it was going to be kind of a nothing year. It turned into something, and then maybe you can talk me into going and get somebody like Lawrence or something like that. But, you know, I really think it's going to be that two-headed monster, just like you said, Gibbs and Montgomery, a lot of it. And that's why I kind of went with the under and the lower score on it, because I feel like if we don't jump out on them, and I mean like 17, up 17 or more, then you're going to see a lot of running. And you're going to see they're going to test that whatever we got for a front, Phillips and Bullard and those guys, which we know, you know, Tillery, those guys, they weren't the most highly touted players that we picked up in free agency. Now, maybe they got coached up and they're a little bit better. But hell, if I was Detroit, I'd test them, too. So it's, you know, going to be stopping the run, and if Cashman's a little banged up, well, that's just another thing to stop the run, and then it'll be, you know, us trying to throw the ball and whatnot. So that's why I went with the under. I think that you really have a good case for the over as well. So if you want to hammer that, go ahead. But I just think, man, the game's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to come out like 3-3, and then you're going to get into the real nuts and bolts of the game, or somebody's going to jump up on the other person and change the whole game flow. But, you know, new wrinkles coming out, Chris, of the bye. It's going to be interesting to see, because some people thought there were some tells, and, you know, maybe Flores has reached that point in the season where it's catching up to him. I don't think that's the case, just because he has a little different players to work with this year. And if he sees something, he'll be able to change it. But man, I'd love to see the Vikings win, and I'd be a firm believer if they can beat Detroit in any way. But let's say you beat Detroit by 10. Okay, then I'm on the bandwagon with both feet going, this is a year to do it. And, Chris, also, man, is every division game going to be like this? I mean, big game against Detroit. I thought the game against Green Bay was huge. The Bears game finally is going to mean something. And then to see them all again, it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I mean, we are much improved. I think they're better, too. It feels like that. But on defense, but so are we. And we're considerably better. But I will say I do think they're better on defense. They went out and got a lot of secondary. Now, you know, maybe we're downgrading Hutchinson too much of a – well, not like we downgraded him, but, you know, like maybe that – is going to make a huge difference for us. Speaking of the run game, we're only giving up 67 yards per game. But, you know, 263 through the air. But 83 yards for the Lions, only giving up 83 yards. And like I said, they rush for basically a buck 58, dude. In the pros, that's impressive. Now, you know, we definitely beaten the better teams. But it's not like they faced a bunch of chumps. Tampa Bay's good. Seattle's good. The Rams keep being pretty good considering how much injuries they have. But, yeah, let's hope we're both wrong. and we come out 6-0, and then, yeah, we're ready to sell 2026, 27, 20. Just sell the drafts, man. Let's do it. Let's put it all. We're all in. No, so let's hope we get that done. All right. Now, go Gophers.
Sky Uma.
On the road at the Rose Bowl. It's not January 1st, but still, we got the job done. It was ugly. Don't get me wrong. 10-0 at half. Missed a field goal. Couldn't really. We have like a 3-and-out, a 6-and-out, a 6-and-out. Just couldn't really get over the hump. It should have been 7-3 at half, or 10-0. Well, that probably would have helped that, but 10-0. You're thinking, God, man, how the hell? Like, at least put up 10 points, you know. And like I said, this Ukla team. UCLA is not as bad as the 1-5 record appeared, because they have taken – I mean, their one win is on the road at Hawaii. Hawaii's okay, but they played Indiana, you know, who's undefeated. They played LSU, you know. They played Oregon. Like, you know, they played Penn State, you know. And each – game, they got a little bit better. Like, they were in that LSU game. They were in that Penn State game. So, like I said, it wasn't pretty by any stretch. And, you know, the whole got to play four quarters and all that, right? 60 minutes, maybe more. Let's just try to play three out of good four quarters. If we could play three out of four, like, solid, above-average quarter, we'll probably win most of these games left, because – it's literally a whole half, whether we started out like North Carolina, Iowa, where we look good in the first half, and then we just, you know, fall apart in the third, or vice versa in this game and some other games where you just, like that Michigan game, where you're like, dude, what is going on? Can't we be a little bit more consistent? But I know that they threw up, you know, they kept saying on the broadcast, they're throwing a bunch of looks at us, trying to just shut down the run, and just throwing – ton of different looks that we hadn't seen. So it did take a little while to adjust. And then it was pretty impressive. Touchdown drive, up 14-10. Did give up a touchdown, but, you know, 7 play, 61 yards, a 153 in the clutch. You know, did our thing. Taylor out of the backfield has been great. Obviously, you know, you look at some of the numbers, they don't look good. Like I said, they really took away the run game, but Daniel Jackson had 10 receptions, and he had to work for damn near every one of them because he didn't even get 100 yards, but still had a great day. That Jamison Gears is really at tight end, really starting to make a difference this year. We haven't had a good tight end in a while. Even last year, you know, it's supposed to be a breakout year for the guy that looked like he was going to turn the page and struggled most of the year. So that was pretty good. But, yeah, just that second half to outscore them like we did, put up 21-7 in the second half. And, you know, when we needed it, we got the job done. And that's that North Carolina game. You know, dude, it's crazy because we could be 5-2 really easy right now. I'm not even going to – I mean, 6-1, you could say that. And it's true. The only game that, you know, I'm never going to say we could have won was the Iowa game, because all that second half went. But if we're 6-1 right now, we're freaking the fuck out. If we're 5-2, we're like, wow, dude, you know, we got a great season going. It's just this team, it has the talent, Aaron, to be a, you know, a damn good team. I think it has the talent potentially to be like the second best team Flex ever had. Obviously, you know, 11-2, 10-2 during the year. And, you know, in 2019, but we had those back-to-back years where we were 8-4 and won the bowl games. And so we had 9 wins. One of those years we should have won 10. We fucked that up. But, and this is our toughest schedule we've had under Fleck. So that's kind of where I'm putting that in. If we could literally be 5-2 right now, like I said, I'd be freaking out. Like, wow, this is a great season. So a lot of people down on Fleck. But honestly, like, I don't know, man. They just got to put three quarters together, man.
can I say a gutty performance from the Gophers? You're right. Started off slow, and you're like, what is this? Down 10. And then they put it together and made some adjustments. I thought, you know, they really were better at moving Taylor out into the flat, getting him involved in screens and catching the ball instead of trying to pound him up the middle so much. And UCLA, you're right, is one of those teams kind of like us that a little better than their record. And yeah, you're so close to being like a really good record, 5-2. That's why that North Carolina game just kind of stinks a little bit, because you could really have a better record. But I think, you know, this team kind of like the UCLA game, starts off slow and it's building, and you got a new quarterback and you got two new coordinators and everybody's getting a feel for each other in game situations. And now it's starting to click a little bit. Beat USC at home and then beat UCLA. I thought I was going to mention Jameson Gears as well. He did have a drop that kind of sucked.
True.
But then, you know, as far as an upgrade from Brevin Spanford, I think it's huge. Spanford he looked good coming out of the bus, but wasn't that great.
And 2 years ago, it looked like he was turning the corner, and then they're like, oh, we're going to pay attention to him. And last year just shut his ass down.
Yeah, and maybe it's quarterback issue too. I mean, Brosmer is a little better at throwing the ball and more confident at it too. So I thought it was a really great win. We can look backwards, but we're not going to. You still got some tough games ahead. Yeah, you're right about Iowa, and then Iowa goes and beats Washington. So they're, you know, Iowa's Iowa, man. They're just going to beat you up, and you could take it and beat them, or you're going to get beat up, especially at home. But, yeah, I mean, you go to the Rose Bowl, you beat UCLA, and now you go on a bye, Chris, and some of the flex stuff has died down. I think there's a better chance that he leaves on his own than he gets fired in any way. Starting to kind of see signs of maybe he's going somewhere else, but I'm going to keep that under my hat because it's just stupid speculation and me seeing some body language stuff and crap like that until we get a little more information. But, I mean, where is he going to go? Obviously, there's a lot of programs that are probably going to look for something new. But, yeah, I mean, where are you going to go that's better than here? You built all this stuff, and that's not really the point. The point is we're on a bye, and you got to play Maryland coming out of the bye, which, you know, I don't know how they've been playing. Actually, I've kept up on a lot of Big Ten teams, but not so much Maryland. So I don't know exactly what their situation is, but it seems like a game you got to have. And going forward, because you're going to face Illinois, you're going to face some other stuff, that Wisconsin, who looks pretty good at this point in the season. So you got to make hay while you can. Obviously, if you can get a little more synced offensively with Spencer and Jones, or Daniel, what's Daniel's last name?
Jackson,
that's it. Jones or Jackson. Yeah, I mean, offensively, throw the ball a little better. Maybe get a little different in the run game. Maybe work the screens a little bit better. Not a huge fan of the offensive line. I thought they played pretty good in the second half, but for, you know, their size, I feel like they could play a little better. I'm always wanting a little bit more from them. But, yeah.
Yeah, we're so used to that, too, you know, having a good line. So, yeah.
Well, yeah.
They've been really up and down.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, you're not used to it, but obviously probably doing a lot more pass protection than they've ever done. So that's something to, you know, think about. But yeah, I mean, impressive wins over the LA squads. I mean, you can't really complain about it. I think we're 4-3 now, Chris, or is that the right record?
Yep.
Yeah, 4-3. So two more games and you're in an actual bowl game, three more, and you get to something that you'd be proud of. And I think that's within reach there. And obviously you got to beat Wisconsin like you do every year. But, man, it's shaping up to be a better season than I thought coming off of North Carolina, and then the cupcakes, and then, you know, you drop that Michigan game sucks. I mean, that call at the end,
rough.
It's just, oof, man. You know,
and the stuff that happened in the first half, too.
Yeah.
Man, it's just one of those things that doesn't happen.
No.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, but I think you're right about one of his better teams. It's just too bad it's going to be hidden under a couple games. At least it's not Bowling Green or anything like that you drop these games to. But, man, you know, if you can get yourself three more, just three more, and I think it'll be a success. Yeah, I'm just impressed with him, really. I thought, you know, the fortitude to come back. I didn't think it was over at 10-0. I never do, but I thought, you know, it didn't seem like the way you'd want to come out in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, they got a bye. And a lot of teams will have two byes in college football. So, yeah, Maryland's kind of falling apart. They have a good win on the road against Virginia early in the year, but they lost to Villanova, and this isn't basketball. Or no, they beat Villanova, but this isn't basketball. And other than that, they just lost to Northwestern, who is not all that good. They're scrappy, but they're not all that good this year. So, yeah, they haven't played as well, but, I mean, to your point, like, you know, got to have the Maryland game because it's at home. I think that's homecoming, if I remember correctly. So, got to have that game. And then try to get, you know, at Illinois is a stymie-type Iowa game. You know, we have yet to really solve them under Bielema. And at Illinois, that's not necessarily good. At Rutgers is another tough one. But it does look like they're coming back to earth. That's a lot of, you know, we all know each other type stuff. So that's going to be an interesting game there. But at Rutgers, you know, a couple games ago, that crowd was going nuts. Now they've lost two games. We'll see if they win this week. They should, but we'll see. And then they get another bye. And then Penn State at home is just major. And then at Wisconsin. So you got five games. Can they go 3-2? You know, that's what we're going to find out. But, hey, no losses this week, so that's good. And we'll see. We'll see. Oh, by the way, you know, Coy got the center fielder-type interception to close the game this time. It's like he's the only one that knew where the ball was in the air. But that pick he made earlier in the game, man, that was a great catch. And he had to, like, land on the ball. You could tell he's in a little bit of pain, but this freaking kid, man, every game just keeps getting better and better. And, you know, he's funny as hell, man. He's talking about a nickname, what they have for the safeties and the secondary. They got a nickname for their squad. And if you look at the pass, we're number one in passing yardage, for defense in the country. And we did face USC, who could sling that thing around, and we limited them. So the defense has done enough. Yeah, they've missed some tackles. Yeah, there has been some moments. But overall, they've done enough. It's just the offense needs to kind of the run game, that it's crazy that we can't run this year. I mean, we ran 2 weeks ago, but – pretty much after that against the FBS team, it's been a struggle. So that's been a little bit of a disappointment, which is just, like I said, it just mind boggles me. But that kind of wraps it up on my side. Why don't you give the last words and anything you want to, you know, say before we get out of here, sir?
Well, if the Gophers just get better every week, Chris, you know, I think we got a good chance against Illinois.
Tell Scout.
Sure. Penn State at home, you know, hey, we've done it before. They're not world beaters. They put their pants on just like one leg at a time is what they say.
Hey, USC almost beat them this last week.
Yeah, so, I mean, you get a surprise win. Let's say you can beat Illinois, you beat Rutgers, and you beat Maryland. That's nine wins. That's, you know, more than you could ask for, I think, and so good. And then, obviously, you want the Vikings to beat those Lions. I know we picked against them, but. Let's go, Vikings. Beat the Lions, and we'll talk to you next week.